visit thegalacticconnection.com.
Using current events and topics going on in the world today, we have opinions on everything. There's no topic that we won't discuss, and we'll go places that other shows wouldn't dare. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news, but you can catch it here, News on the Flip Side, only on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Perspective X, and it's April 17th, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you're listening to the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. I'm your host, Stephanie Benetti, and I am pleased to announce my new co-host, Angela Thomas, and this is UPRN 107.7 FM out of New Orleans. Welcome, Angela.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. Good to be here.
Excellent. I'm so pleased to have you as a co-host. You were a guest on a show of mine years ago, and we remained friends, and I thought, what a fantastic combination.
Absolutely, absolutely. You and I think alike, Stephanie.
Yes, we do. So I just, I want to reintroduce you. You know, you have been on this network before. I guess, why don't you tell the listeners about your old show and a little bit what you've been doing since then and all that good stuff.
Well, I had a show with Tuesday Miles called Portal Paranormal Talk Radio, and it was predominantly about the paranormal, whether it was psychics or investigations or whatever was going on, research and with science and the Parapsychology Association and things of that nature. So it was quite informative, very interesting show. Since then, I've been teaching psychic development in a community college. I'm getting ready to teach psychic development online so that there are no geographic barriers. But I'm writing. I just finished a writing degree, an MFA in writing. And so I do publish fiction, nonfiction. So I'm busy, Stephanie, not only writing but also participating as a professional psychic, and I am a research psychic, of course, for the study of precognition, which allows me to give predictions and have those done in a scientific format, and they research all of the predictions and write reports on them. So I've been very, very busy since the show of Portal. But very happy now to be doing Perspective X with you.
I am really interested in the online psychic development courses. How does that work?
Well, I teach an array of subject matters. I teach a beginning, intermediate, and advanced classes. But some of the bigger work is telepathy, precognition, and for those of you that are listening and you do not know what precognition is, that's the ability to look into the future. And retrocognition is the ability to look into the past, which I'm sure many of you have seen, let's say, psychic detectives on television. That allows them to go, to a crime scene or stay home and really be able to offer vital information about the actual crime. So I also do remote viewing, which is the ability to see anything, whether that's a person, place or object, anywhere in the world from your chair. So for those of you that are familiar with remote viewing, certainly that was used by the United States government under the Stargate program. So I love doing remote viewing.
Interestingly, everyone I know or who's around me is a psychic. It just amazes me. I have a friend in the room right now, Michelle. She's a fantastic psychic as well. Every time I turn around, and she actually has me reading cards, and I'm doing quite well at it. So I'm wondering what all this, because years ago I would never even have thought about any kind of psychic ability or psychics in general, so I find that quite interesting.
Well, Stephanie, as far as psychic abilities go, everyone has the ability. The only difference is that some are scribblers and some are Picassos. So some of them, flow very, very easily with psychic information. They're able to develop it. They're able to control it. while others are not quite on the same page. You know, they haven't put the time or the work into it. But that's why I teach, you know, to show individuals how to utilize those abilities. And we're not just given one ability. We're given a lot of abilities. So I love to teach it. So we'll just have to see about you taking classes.
I'd just like to mention that, you know, Perspective X is a variety show, and as such, we'll be discussing all sorts of topics, and some of them may or may not be paranormal or psychic-related or politics or social issues, and, you know, that's pretty much been the format for the past few months with this program. And I also would like to mention that I'm creating a new website for Angela and I, and it's under construction, so I don't have that information. And if you'd like to write about the show, feel free to write to the UFO Paranormal Radio Network until, I guess, the construction happens. I started a new job this week, and I've worked already 30 hours. I'm tired. So. Well, thank you. And, yeah, so we'll also have a commercial and an intro and all of that good stuff. It, you know, give us time. You know, it's our first program together tonight. And I just wanted to say something and put it out there. I know there's a lot of listeners that are listening, and I just want to say, you know, and I'm sure you'll agree, our thoughts and prayers go out to the city of Boston. I mean, I just like to, you know, very sad. And being from New York, I mean, everyone in New York was devastated the other day, and I'm sure Boston is as well. So,
well, all Americans are with Boston, you know, and our thoughts and our prayers. You know, we're Americans. We don't like to see any of our sisters and brothers out there under attack. So let's hope that this is resolved very quickly so that there's no risk of other cities being attacked as well.
Absolutely. And I know, I just want to, before we get into our topics, in which we're going to talk about capitalism versus socialism tonight, you're experiencing some odd weather there tonight, aren't you?
Certainly. It is springtime in Missouri, and what that means is a lot of tornadoes, and so we are under tornado watches for the next 24 hours, but we've had tornadoes sighted an hour away, drive time from here, so we're all, you know, sort of bracing for bad weather.
Okay, well, we're getting spared here, so for a change, I guess, lately. I've had enough. You know, we talked, Joe Montaldo and I talked about all these hurricanes that are coming up in this hurricane season, and I can't even imagine having that happen again anytime in the next 6 months, you know. I just finally recovered from the last one, so good luck with tornadoes.
Well, thank you very much.
So, Angela, how would you like to begin?
Well, you know, Stephanie, a lot of, you know, we're talking tonight about capitalism versus socialism, and, you know, one of the things that we hear quite a bit on the television and through our radios is about the economy, as well as about health care. And so, you know, health care and the economy and services to the people are certainly, you know, something that everyone is concerned with, especially with the new Obamacare going into play. But also, you know, Stephanie, our own capitalistic system is changing, and not so much about the foundation in which it was built upon, but, you know, the economy is changing, and therefore, you know, the way that we generate dollars, the way shareholders make money, that's changing as well. We're losing a lot of business to foreign countries, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I would just have to say that these are some of the things that we should address tonight on the show. But capitalism versus socialism, I believe, I don't know about you, Stephanie, what do you think? Do you think the United States is ever going to change from capitalism?
We talk about the economy, and I talk about job creation particularly, and all of that pretty much every Saturday night. It's a hot topic for me, and, you know, everyone can see the state of our country at this point, but, you know, what you hear all the time is, you know, Obama is a socialist, and I think he's almost the truth is he's a reverse Robin Hood, because it's just tanking our economy, and, you know, he's trying to give it to all the people. And so, I mean, it's changing, but I don't see it changing in a positive fashion.
Well, you know, some people are speculating, Stephanie, is the United States the new or the old Rome, you know, where the empire fell? Do you have any thoughts about the United States? Do you think that in the next couple of decades that we shall crumble?
I think it's going to be before then. I see it taking a bad turn.
Mm.
You know, let's see. I think that, I believe the theory of socialism, it's a nice theory, but I have to side with capitalism, and I was going to put that out there from the beginning of the show. You know, I mean, capitalist societies have powerful economies.
Well, I mean, powerful economies, but do you feel that our current economy in the United States?
No, currently no. No, no, we're totally, say, conforming to being socialists.
Well, true, you know, and we have those social libertarians, or I guess libertarians, that are out there promoting, you know, social justice and you know, morals. And there's another thing, morals. What's the social morality like in the United States when we look at capitalism? Do you think, Stephanie, and I've heard this before, do you think it's fair for everyone to, you know, go with the way things are? In other words, no one under a capitalism system has equal opportunity. Now, we have equal opportunity as far as, you know, happiness and pursuing our dreams. But are we equal, Stephanie, do you think, if we were not born into, let's say, a blue-blooded family, you know, a multi-millionaire family or families, who, you know, do not have the same access to better education or higher education? What are your thoughts on that?
No, we're certainly not born equally. That's absolutely, I mean, whether it's schooling and monetarily, definitely we're not. You know, see, people like to say capitalism doesn't work because of greed. And I'll agree that that's certainly a negative point of capitalism, but it's also a positive one as well, you know, because in capitalistic societies, companies compete in a free market.
Sure. So, but what about individuals that are currently socialist or trying to push the socialism button here in the United States? Do you think that they want the light version of socialism in this country, or do you think that they're headed for communism?
I think that what's going on now is the people who are pushing this aren't really thinking this through and want the benefits, but are not thinking of ultimately, you know, the consequences. And yeah, you know, it does lead to communism.
You know, I have friends in Spain, I have friends in Canada, that are under, you know, socialist, well, medicine, socialized medicine. And one of the big things that, you know, we've heard about in the last 5 years, you know, when the big push was to let all United States citizens share in some sort of medical benefit, a lot of people were resistant to that. No, 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 they said, you know, we need to keep things as they are. But with the rising cost of health care and the directives that the insurance companies are giving to hospitals, doctors, labs, you know, any type of business that offers medical service, really doesn't seem to be working. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm sorry, I just got distracted, Angela. Could you just repeat what you just said?
Well, not really, but...
No, my computer got frozen.
Well, oh, I see. Well, you know, one of the things, you know, with Canada having socialized medicine, And socialized medicine in Canada as well as in Spain, you know, you pay so much every quarter for the benefit of having, you know, let's say free surgeons, free medicines, et cetera, et cetera. And the United States, you know, is looking to subsidize health care. And so do you think that it is unfair, for example, for citizens here in the United States to go without health care under our current system? I mean, after all, insurance companies currently are dictating health care, even to the doctors in the hospitals. What are your thoughts on that? Well, I think I've lost Stephanie. So what are your thoughts on socialism and capitalism? I mean, is it something that is working for this country? Now, I am a capitalist. I'm not a socialist, but perhaps you could call me a capitalist that is leaning a little bit more towards social liberalism. You know, that is the ability to, you know, keep capitalism, keep our democracy the way it is, keep the, you know, solid foundation, but to also incorporate health care benefits and also education. You know, as a current or just lately I received a Master's of Fine Arts in writing, you know, I'm looking at student loans coming back, you know, and paying those. But looking at the economy and the lack of jobs out there, I'm rather concerned. So I know a lot of people out there are pushing for free education, et cetera. You know, we look at countries such as Russia, which is the extreme socialism. Well, it's communist, right? But even Russia offers free education. In fact, Siberia, which used to be really dedicated to you know, prisoners and things of that nature and keeping people in isolation, are currently building Siberia up for, you know, university.
Hi, Stephanie, please leave a message. Thank you.
So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, after all, you know, healthcare is out there, education is out there, but can socialism, those that are promoting it, do you think that that's a dangerous thing under a capitalistic system? So be sure to write to us and let us know your thoughts, because next week we certainly will be talking about, you know, some of the comments that you've made. So apparently our co-host Stephanie Vanetti is having communication problems, so my apologies for that. So capitalism and socialism, part of our foundations is to kind of let it be, right? We're opposed to government in the United States interfering with our own economics, although we do need government commissions and government ruling. But, you know, free markets produce the best economic outcome for society. And so we don't really look for government to interfere so much as picking the winners and the losers. Whereas, you know, under a socialistic system, you know, there's government regulations. And I can understand how that works, but because, you know, if there was not any government regulations, then certainly people would take advantage and say, well, I deserve something more so than you. And so one of the biggest things, you know, like in South and Central America that have pushed for socialism for many decades now, is to say if we all can benefit, if we all have homes, if we all have food, if we all have health care, and if we all, you know, contribute to our society by our means. Certainly somebody that is a peasant working in the fields of South America do not have the same ability to contribute to society and their country as somebody that is, you know, very wealthy, et cetera, et cetera. So I would like to hear your thoughts on that particular subject. But what about planned socialism? You know, particularly when it comes to investments, when it comes to production, and all of those, you know, decisions. You know, should we plan for a change? Capitalism here in the United States, let's say 30 years ago, is certainly not the same system that, you know, we are under today. So, you know, it's very difficult thing to realize that the United States is changing, and should we try to change our system before we are doomed? Now, personally, I don't want to be, you know, talking about doom and gloom, especially on the first show of Perspective X, but, you know, let's look at reality. We are lacking jobs, and one of the things that we need to do is create jobs. But how do we create jobs and compete with those internationally? Do you see that the United States will bring back manufacturing so that we can, you know, produce products, so we can, you know, make investments on products and commodities? Or do you see us changing to a service-orientated country? Recently, I spoke with a friend that is an economic expert, and she tells me within the next 10 to 15 years that the United States will become a more service-orientated country and lack products because, of course, manufacturing is no longer coming back. There's no way truly to compete with those internationally. But, you know, I feel as far as us becoming a service-orientated country that we have to do something right now to make those changes in order to keep our capitalism, you know, ongoing. So I see a big tear in the political system, as you all have been noticing in the last several years. We're not getting much done, but I feel that it's due to political movements to try to maintain capitalism, you know, whether it's somebody that is, you know, wanting to be a liberalism, you know, type of system, or somebody that is saying, well, you know, I'm a Democrat, but I'm now leaning towards socialism or a form of communism.
I'm a communist.
Hello?
It's just me. I just joined in with you for a second because I don't know what happened to poor Stephanie, ladies and gentlemen. She got abducted.
She certainly has. The communication just ended.
Yes, I think her internet actually went down is what I think happened.
Yes.
I was just coming to ask you if you wanted to break while we were waiting or if you were good. Don't you love how I just interrupt her in the middle of us talking and stuff? She's doing such
well,
a
great, you know, I'm stuff. Just going on and on and on, you know.
I hate to hang a host out to dry.
Well, I certainly do appreciate it.
Well, I've been trying to get her cell, too, but for some reason she's having a problem with it. Oh, Angela always does a great job. I wasn't worried about Angela. And I have no doubt that she would do a good job. It's just, you know, it's first time out. I hate to hang anybody on a first time out. It's always like a thing. And I was listening going, the whole time you're saying that, I'm thinking, freaking communist country we live in.
Joe, do you feel like that we're becoming more communist every day, or do you feel that?
I definitely feel we're more socialist every day. Communist may be strong, but I definitely feel we're moving into a socialist type of stance. I mean, with 50% of our country on entitlements, and every turn I turn around, they're taking another right away, and I still can't understand how both car insurance and health insurance. Now, by the way, I am for, not mandatory health insurance, but I am for unilateral health care for everybody in this country.
Certainly.
I just don't think it should be forced on us, and I don't think it should be the way it's set up. You know, I thought they were, when I heard Obama the first time, I thought universal health care, like the Brits or the Canadians, or, you know, that's about the only social thing I like is their health care system. But when I heard that we were going to get forced, I said this too, by the way, in Voice of the People a long time ago when I heard this. I said, listen, what's going to happen. I said, they're going to say they're going to get more people insured. I said, a bunch of companies are going to start laying them off because the insurance companies now can charge whatever they want because insurance is mandatory.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Last I checked, the federal government has no right to tell you how to live. If you want to die early, it's your choice. So, you know, if you want to be, you know, because now they're talking about some articles we just did. They're talking about if you smoke, jobs are going to discriminate against you. If you're overweight, jobs are going to discriminate against you. If you're over age 45. Because these are all risks that will make the insurance on you much higher premiums. So you're not going to get the job.
Well, and that's true. And we're seeing that now, you know, people that are overweight, people that are smoking, and people over 45, like you say. But also, you know, Joe, I recently learned that our veterans that are coming back from war are not able to get jobs, not because they're not skilled, because we know that they're trained on some of the best systems in the world. But it's the insurance companies that are telling employers that if you hire a veteran, you pay more insurance for that veteran.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, you see, was it CVS? Was asking, you know, all kind of questions you're not supposed to ask when hiring about your health. Last I checked, it was against the law to discriminate against because of someone's health, because of their weight, because they smoke. That's all supposed to be illegal in a free country. But apparently, I'm living in Canada now and didn't know it.
Well, Canada, you know, I visited Canada a couple
of years ago. People don't know.
You know, and the Canadians are wonderful people, but, you know, looking at their health care system, a lot of Americans, you know, have feared that if we adopted, you know, subsidized or socialized medicine like Canada, that, you know, there are long waiting lines, et cetera, et cetera, but that's not true. If for a checkup, a yearly checkup, certainly there's a waiting period, but if there's an emergency, or you require surgery that's an emergency surgery, you go to the head of the line. So, but, you know, these people are paying for the privilege of having that health care system because they are putting dollars into it. So, you know, recently under the Obama Health Care Act, you know, I know that we will all be paying if we are not privately covered by insurance. We will be paying a certain premium for health care coverage, but how that is going to work, I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm waiting to hear this 19,000-page, 10-foot stack of documents. That, look, I was talking with my accountant the other day because I'm catching up some tax stuff, and he tells me, he said, you know, we got a thing from the IRS that says that they recommend hiring an accountant when you get your health insurance. What the hell? You got to hire an accountant to get health insurance? There's something just screwed up with that whole sit. And I got to tell you this. I was recently talking with some friends of mine. I was going in to get my workman's comp updated for my company, and we got to talking about health care. He told me point blank, if you're under the age 30 and you're paying $100 a month, expect to pay $4. He said
wow.
It's going to hit the youth the worst. He said now if you're over 40 and then you have pre-existing conditions, expect to pay between $550. And $950 a month.
Ooh.
Who the hell can afford that? And y'all don't forget, Nancy Pelosi in front of the whole world said, well, I don't think $950 a month is too much for someone to pay for insurance. Really? Well, we're not all multimillionaires.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, I really do feel that, you know, health care is going to be one of the things that drives a new capitalism in this country.
I think
health care
is what's going to drive their Democratic Party right out of existence. I think they made a fundamental mistake here that they did not calculate how many companies are going to lay off employees and go to part-time so they don't have. Already, three states in the union have already done this. There are more people without insurance now than they were pre-Obamacare because, like in Virginia, so far in Virginia, 71,000 employees had been put to 30 hours or less a week. So not only did you lose your health care, but you lost your full-time employment and 10 hours of your paycheck.
Wow. So, Joe, do you think that if we get a Republican in office that there can be contingencies added to the Obama health care or that can be revised at all?
Well, I think the Republicans, what they're going to do is defund it. They're just not going to give them money. And then the things are just going to go right down the tubes. And then what they're going to do is they're going to say, okay, we agree that this was unconstitutional, and we're going to redo health care. Just like they've done in the past with the Social Security system and other systems that didn't quite make it. I don't know how many of y'all are familiar with the housing programs, but in the 50 years I've been on the planet, HUD, or the Housing Urban Development Program, has changed about 30 times. It started out to this, now it's that. And it used to be, if you wanted more than 2 years, they put you in school and helped you find a job and blah, 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 blah. So it goes back and forth. I think you're going to see the same thing with health care. If you all of a sudden see an all-Democratic, I mean, if you see an all-Republican Senate, or if the Democrats lose the Senate in 2014, you may see them go after Obama. If he gets impeached, then all his bills go the way of Dodelberg. So we don't even have to worry about it. It just becomes a garbage program. But I think the Republicans, any way it goes, are going to get rid of it, because most Americans, 76% when the law was passed, were against this. You know, and still today, it's 71% are still against. People don't like being told they have
right,
to do something.
Right. Well, not Americans, that's for sure.
Yeah, we gripey like that.
Well, what about insurance companies, Joe? I mean, insurance companies, don't you feel that they're undermining this country?
Oh, yeah, and I do.
Yeah, recently, just the healthcare insurance company that I've dealt with suddenly has made changes. There are certain things that they're no longer going to cover. And there's just no way to recover from those type of things. I know that my own elderly parents have had to spend their life savings to cover their health care costs, and that is with insurance.
I was recently told, because I got a stent in one of my right arteries, and that I'm 49 years old, that I could expect to pay at least $1,000 a month for insurance. Now, I'm lucky because Linda's going to get, she's on Social Security, so she'll get free health care. I don't know how my son's going to afford it. He was told the other day he's looking at like $500 a month. Because what Obama did, forgot to mention to y'all, what we're just finding out, is the youth of America is the ones that are supposed to be paying the ticket. The ones that are not sick and the ones that are not going to be going. This tells you how screwed everybody got here. These are people that probably won't get sick for 30 years that are going to be funding the majority of health care. That's not even fair to them.
Yeah, but not even employed.
Yeah, most of that's a good.
America are not getting jobs.
That's a damn good.
They're really
point.
Not. I mean, right out of the universities, they have a huge student loan and no, true opportunity to go to work. Why? Because there's companies that are hiring other people in other countries. And as a businessman, Joe, you certainly would understand that, hey, if I can produce this widget for 5 cents versus paying a dollar, I'm going to, set up shop over in, let's say, over in Vietnam or India or places like that.
See, I think there should be some kind of laws. Not laws. You know what I think should be done here? If companies want to go abroad, it's fine. It's a free country, that's fine. But I think any time you move your workforce outside of the United States, you should have to pay a 50% tariff tax.
Right, right.
Okay, and then they'll be like, well, wait a minute. Now they're going to screw us. We might as well stay in the U.S. because, frankly, we're giving jobs away. I mean, since Obama, we're not even going to talk about Bush's here, but since Obama's been president, almost 14 million jobs overseas. We can't do that. As a nation, we can't keep that kind of downward spiral going. We got to get out of this. And frankly, I've been talking to some friends of mine, and even the Democrats are wishing Obama wouldn't have got a second term.
Well, true.
They're realizing that health care is going to be their albatross. This is going to be such a nightmare program because of the lines, the cost, and the people who are going to lose their. So wait, y'all, there's something else y'all forgot about. So Walmart's doing this too. My aunt works for them. They're cutting all their employees back to 30 hours, so this is going to save Walmart billions of dollars a year. So they're not going to be, they don't have to provide health care for part-time employees, only for full-time. So they're going to cut the majority of their workforce back to part-time. Since the economy is so bad, they're not going to have a problem finding part-time employees, so they're going to cut them back. But now these people are going to lose their insurance and their full-time. Well, wait a minute. At the end of the year, the IRS is going to penalize them for not having health insurance.
Right, right.
So they're getting triple screwed here. No health care, no money, a loss in salary, a loss of insurance, and now getting fined by the Fed. And you really think the country's going to put up this for a long period of time? I think they don't do something about it, you're going to see a damn little mini-revolution. But hey.
Well, that's exactly what I was about to say, is a revolution. And certainly you're going to see a lot of labor unions starting up, which, you know, I believe, Joe, to be quite honest with you, that I think that is going to slide us into a more socialism system. And I have to tell you, I think that that is Obama's true goal, is to break down the country and build on it again, you know, build anew.
Well, that's what I think he's doing. He's weakened us abroad. He's weakened us at home. Come on. You would have never seen any world leader pull the shit they have with Obama if Bush was president. Kim Jong would have never said, I'm going to launch a nuke, because Bush would have went over there and blew his damn nukes up.
Right.
The first
right.
time he parked up on the coast, we'd have launched a strike. That would have been the end of that. We wouldn't have cared what anybody said. In the end, it's not going to, you know, different presidents are different ways. And in this case, it's going to be the fact that he has weakened our country and he's weakened us financially. Come on, the man spent $5 trillion in 3 years. That's more than Bush spent on everything in his whole 8 years. It's ridiculous. He can't even blame the wars, because most of that was paid off when Bush was president. So I don't even know what he's spending it on. And then to top it off, they showed his 1090, his W-2s the other day. His income, just like everybody else's income, has gone down for the last 2 years. Come on, you can't even get your income to go up when you're president. You're sad. I mean, that's just all I can say about that.
Well, I think that's fudge, though.
I agree.
Because Obama certainly has the money and certainly raised a lot of funds just for the elections. But, you know, one of the benefits of being president is being able to invest, you know, at the start out on new things coming around that were passed by Congress. So, you know, whether that's, you know, weapons that you're investing in, or, you know, transportation or roads or real estate, I mean, that's one of the benefits of a president, to have that knowledge before it's ever implemented into
the
system.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because last year I was shocked to find out that Congress could do insider trading.
Yeah.
I was floored. I didn't even know how to react to it, because for everybody else, it's absolutely, I mean, come on, they put Martha Stewart in jail for it.
I know. But we all would have done that. You know, if your buddy calls you up, Joe, and says, listen, you know, I know what's happening tomorrow. You need to start moving your funds elsewhere. You know, you'd do the same.
Yeah.
You would follow your friend's advice. And, so I don't know. I think everyone needs a guinea pig an example, and they made an example out of Martha, because why? It was convenient. It was easy.
I agree with you. You know, Michelle, I couldn't live in New York, because I'd have to go topless and scare the hell out of Mayor Bloomberg. You know how the Fembots did? I would. I'd have to, look, Mr. Bloomberg!
another thing. I'm glad that you brought him up, because, you know, how does that work under capitalism? How do you have a leader of a city able to tell its citizens that you can't drink so much soda?
Because it's the new thing, and I'm glad you did say that, because this is the new America. We do it, and then we try to get away with it, and then finally it gets in front of a court, and the court overturns it, like what happened with the sodas and what's going to happen with the cigarettes. But still, about every five things they do, four gets overturned and one gets left behind, like health care. There is
right.
no way in any constitution that they should be able to charge us, tell us we have to do health care. And the only reason, from what I understand, the only reason they even got it passed through the Supreme Court is they said it was a tax.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that, you know, under a capitalistic system, I really do feel that there is a moral obligation to its citizens. I would like to see this country find a way to support those that are homeless, support those that are lacking health care, support, you know, at least give equal access to education, this type of thing. If other countries can do it, so can we. If you look at Russia, even if you have to put 10 people in an apartment, at least they're not homeless. And, you know, I studied Russian history, you know, contemporary Russian history and the old Russian history, et cetera. But, you know, the one thing that I can admire out of that whole country is the fact that they're not going to leave their people on the street.
Yeah, I don't know what happened or how we got to where we are today. I mean, I've been preaching the liberals are the new Communist Party, and really they are. I mean, liberals are all about taking away rights now. I don't know what happened. I mean, they weren't supposed to be that party. They were supposed to be the party that made sure the Constitution didn't get pooped on, but they seem to be the opposite now. You know, usually it's the in the old days it was the conservatives you had to worry about trying to take rights away. Sure. Now all of a sudden they're the ones pro-rights, and I don't know what happened. And what both parties are not learning, and this is important because this is a changing factor in our country, is there's a middleist party developing because so many people are disgusted with the conservatives and the liberals. They're creating, you know, they call it the Libertarian Party, but that's not the real party. There's a real strong middleist movement where people are in between the liberals and the conservatives. Because I do have a lot of conservative values, but I do believe in some of the stuff the liberals do. So I'm definitely in the middle, and I know a lot more people that are in the middle. Because unfortunately for the conservatives, they've got marked as the nutty religious party. Even though they're not, they still got marked that way, which, you know, I feel for them. And of course, everybody, when you think of liberals, you think of people like Nancy Pelosi and Rachel Maddow, which are both complete, utter morons. So, you know, whoever sent me that thing about they're both strong women role models, you're an idiot. And it's the only way I can say that, okay? It's as polite as I could be about that.
So tell us, there's people in the middle between Democrats and Republicans. Don't you think that that is going to kind of convolute that whole, you know, political system? I mean, you know, certainly we can't continue on the way that we have in the last several years with the Democrats and the Republicans not doing a thing other than fighting each other. But if we add, let's say, a strong third party in there, or people that are trying to, you know, drive a wedge between those two parties, don't you think that that is going to really cause a lot of confusion and lose a lot of votes?
I agree. I think what needs to be done, and I don't know how we're going to do this, I think what they need to do is take the, in reality, the Liberal Party and the Conservative Party should be the serving parties. In other words, the middleist should be the majority party. It should be about 60% of America. And then the Liberals should be about 20%, and the Conservatives could be. So what would happen is somebody would put up a bill, the middleist would say, okay, we're supporting this bill, but we need one of the two sides to come along with us to make sure the bill passes. Then you're getting a much more true bipartisan than you are today, because today the Conservatives and the Liberals control, and the middleists get, well, how can I say this politely, pooped on. You know, the majority, because even in all the new surveys, they say the majority of the country is in the middle. About 54% of America is sitting the fence now. And then you've got the conservatives. And I got a lot of friends that are real hardcore conservatives, so, and I got friends that are liberals. And I like both of them. They're both friends of mine. A lot of them are good friends of mine. And even though I don't agree with them from time to time and we have heated debates, they are good friends of mine. But I think what needs to be done is the government, or we, the people, they're going to have to say, okay, look, everybody on the Democratic side that's close to the middle and everybody on the Republican side that is close to the middle, y'all are the new party, and just slam their asses into a new party. Leave the far-right liberals and the far-left conservatives out on their own, which will make up, like I said, 15 or 20%, and then they can fight back and forth with the middleists to see which way the country's going to go. Because the people in the middle are going to always be looking for the people in the middle. That's just how it's going to be. And the left and the right will have to fight their way through that to get what they want. I can guarantee if this system would have been in place, we would have health care today, but we wouldn't have Obamacare.
So, Joe, let me throw something out at you. Hillary Clinton versus Jeb Bush next election.
Jeb Bush will win. well, it's not that. Before we go on, I liked Hillary. I had a lot of respect for Hillary. I would have voted for Hillary in the first election, hands down. I would have even went and campaigned for Hillary. Then Benghazi came along, and four Americans got murdered. She covered it up, and no one did a damn thing about it, and still to this day, no one has done anything about it. She's not thinking about that when it comes time to run, because not only will the Conservative Party go after her that, but so will most of the media. well, you let four Americans get murdered in Benghazi and you did nothing. And it was because of your lack of interest or your lack of control over the State Department that they did not get the funding they need. We don't need a president like that. So I think she's done more damage to herself than she realizes. And all the polls that keep telling me she will win hands down are all liberal polls. None of them are taken by any bipartisans. The only one I've seen bipartisan was the BBC poll, and she was only 30% of the vote.
Well, you know, a lot of people that I've spoken about Hillary Clinton is, you know, they all say the same thing. We love Hillary, however, we want Bill back. And so they feel like if they voted for Hillary Clinton, that it would become, you know, kind of like a two-for-one.
Well, it could be. But I personally think Bill's got other things on his mind these days. Now that he got his heart fixed and all, I think he's on to bigger and better stuff. I'm sure he wouldn't mind being the first man. I'm sure he wouldn't. You know, he's a politician at heart. What bothers me about the Clintons, and this is another thing that's going to come to hurt them. One, she stepped down and didn't do two terms with Obama, so a lot of the country feels like she let them down there. Two, in the very beginning, before, you know, because they cheated Hillary out of the primary, she actually won the primary. They just gave
Absolutely.
It to Obama because they didn't think she was going to win. Bill didn't like Obama, and the fact that they got in bed with him hurt both of them.
Well, you know, the Clintons, I think, you know, Hillary certainly took
the position
of Secretary of State just to continue on, but who really? I mean, Joe, would you do another term with Obama?
I wouldn't have. And I wouldn't hate on her for not to. That actually gave some of the respect I lost for actually came back when she left, because at least then I realized she's like, well, look, I can't do another 4 years with this idiot.
Well, I mean, imagine Secretary of State. That's dangerous. You know, that's a very dangerous job. Very dangerous.
And that's twice that I can remember before Benghazi that Obama hung her ass out to dry, and I think she knew that. I think she knew if anything major happened, she was going to be the scapegoat. And, of course, now we've got Ferry Kerry, and he's all right. It's just when I listened to when he was running, was it Bush he was running against? Kerry, in a lot of ways, is kind of a Republican at heart in a lot of things he does. Except that he is very much a liberal when it comes to, like, Israel and some of our foreign affairs. That's why I didn't understand. I could have seen him in a different position, maybe in Hagel's job or in Holder's job, but not Secretary of State. I think they made the wrong choice there. And I don't think he's got the respect around the world. In case y'all didn't know this, according to Obama, the most respected Secretary of State in the world was Hillary Clinton. According to the poll done in Europe, the most respected Secretary of State was Condoleezza Rice.
Absolutely.
By far, like 80% like Condi. Because Condi didn't take no... Let me tell you, if Condoleezza was in the White House, they ain't none of this shit would be going on. Iran wouldn't be getting all antsy. Korea wouldn't be getting... They didn't the whole time they was there, because she'd have called Bush up and said, hey, baby, you know what? It's time to light some fire in somebody's ass. And Bush would say, I love you. Let me just tell me where to drop the bomb.
Well, it certainly is an interesting topic, you know, Secretary of State and politics and, you know, our political system here in the United States. And one of the things, Joe, is just, you know, we're going to see change much sooner than later.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, the United States that I was born into certainly isn't the same way that it used to be in any respect.
No. And I didn't expect it to stay the same, because my grandpa and my great-grandpa told me the same thing, that the country changed immensely when they were growing up. And my grandpa used to tell me all the time that the country was moving to a much more liberal stance. Of course, back then I was like, Gramps, you're crazy, man. There ain't no liberals in this country. What are you talking about? Of course, now I retract that statement, but still... You know, it was like this. So I expected some change. But all of this, every time I turn around, it's for your own good. I have never seen a president like this one, everything out of his mouth, it's for your own good. Stupid fool, what are you talking about? You don't know what's good for me. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, but, you know, Joe, here's my big concern is why are others allowing that to happen? You know, people that are in political positions, in public office, why is this happening? Why are they not being a voice?
I don't know what's with the Republicans, to be honest with you. There's a lot of stuff they could hang Obama on that they just don't. Like the other day, like during the election, why didn't Romney ever bring up that Michelle is for late-term abortions, 30 to 34-week abortions, where they pull the baby out and inject a needle into their head to kill it? She's for this. Why was this never brought up? This would have really hurt them in a political environment. Romney could have asked him that question on the stage. It would have floored Obama. It would have been the end of his political career, but they didn't. And it's not just that. There's a lot of stuff they just let slide. So I wonder a lot of, like, did y'all watch the first election with McCain? When McCain first started running, he's all in his blue suit, and he's all chipper. And then all of a sudden, he nominates Sarah Palin, which I thought was a mistake, but still, Sarah was funny. She looked good in a bikini, so we'll let that slide. And then all of a sudden, he starts wearing these flight jackets, and he's all hunched over and shit. So
right.
It was like he was trying, and he still almost won. That's the scary part. And it's just like nobody said anything when they stole the election from Hillary. In the end, she had the candidates. But they said, oh, no, we're going to take these two states away from you so Obama can win.
Well, it's all those superdelegates that jumped ship and went to Obama's side. And again, I really don't feel that should be allowed. If you're a superdelegate and you claim the Republican or the Democratic Party, you should be forced to stay with that.
Oh, I do, and I don't know what was going on there. There was just so much BS in that election. And then I'm thinking to myself that when Republicans start running, I'm thinking, these are the best people y'all can put up for president. Newt Gingrich, which in his day would have made a great president, but not so much now. Linda Bachman, who's a nice woman, but she didn't have any more experience than Obama. Well, she might have had a little bit more experience than Obama did. I liked Romney, but Romney was already a two-time loser, and Americans aren't real game on if he's lost twice on giving you a shot.
Right.
I mean, he did really well. He did better than I thought he was going to do in the election, to be honest with you. But, you know, Americans are funny about that kind of stuff. You know, he'd already lost two times running for president, and still, I mean, he gave a good run. And then what happened in that last debate? He had Obama on the ropes, and then all of a sudden the last debate he decides to, what, play nice?
Right.
To me the whole thing seems fixed.
Well, that is a strong possibility, Joe, really. I mean, considering the first 4 years of Obama's administration and what the country went through, it makes you wonder. You know, I don't believe people that are suffering out there economically are going to say, you know what, let's go 4 more years of this. I really, really don't.
Yeah, I when he got reelected, I was just depressed, but I was like, well, what are we going to do? We're stuck. And frankly, the alternative of Biden scares me more than Obama does. So Biden just is like, he tells them people, oh, get a shotgun and protect yourself. So some guy goes and gets a shotgun and shoots it off his balcony, and they come arrest him. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, you should have sued the vice president. He told you to go do it. And I told everybody, and I said this on the show. That's why I like doing public stuff. I said, if they don't get gun control in the first 2 weeks after Sandy Hook, they will not get it. I said, the longer you wait, the more Americans will forget. And it's not that we don't care. It's just it's too much. I mean, come on. Since this man been president, there have been like 5 school shootings, all kind of shit. There have been more people died in our country by our own hand than the last 2 presidents combined. So you've just got to kind of wonder what the hell that's about.
I understand that. I understand.
All them stabbing people. And then people have been making a point. Oh, we're going to take guns away. So the guy goes in Texas and stabs a bunch of people. Well, that wasn't good enough. Somebody goes to Boston and lights off 2 bombs. They're sending a clear message. No, we're not going to settle for this. And if you try it, it's just going to get worse. And I think that's what you're going to start seeing in 2014 or 2015 with health care. I think Americans are going to come unglued over this health care plan.
Well, I agree with you there, Joe.
Checkups. Well, we better see one more time if we can get Ms. Benetti back on, because I know we're like 5 after the hour.
Well, we're already, the show has come to a completion. So hopefully next Wednesday, Perspective X will have some grand topics, and Stephanie Benetti will have consistent communication.
Yes, that was kind of weird. You know, she don't usually have problems like that, so that was kind of weird. And so, I know, ladies and gentlemen, I just called in to mess with Angela because Stephanie's out, but she'll be back next week at their regular scheduled time behind UFO on the cover. And I'll be back Saturday, and we're going to get into some of the topics we talked about a little while ago in a little bit more in depth. Yeah, you know what? I did, Michelle. I told a little Grays to go pay her a visit. She's probably running like hell up the stairs right now. Get the probe away! Get the probe away! A lot of dogs are barking.
Well, all right, though. I appreciate you coming on and offering, you know, a lot of different points of view and making the comments. And, you know, I apologize to the listeners for Stephanie dropping off, and we'll do it next week.
Yes, and I look forward to it. I was enjoying the show, and I was like, it was so weird because I was like, I don't hear anything. And then I'm like, I really don't hear anything. And then I looked up, and she was gone off the line. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, man.
And then I didn't get any more responses. I said, well, that's not a good thing. That's never a good thing. Anyway, I'll let you close this out. And, guys, I'll see y'all Saturday. And don't forget Second Sight NYC tomorrow night with Chris and Vic. And Friday with Karen. Let's see, we got Karen. Oh, no, that's right. We don't have Sasha and Guy this week. That's next week. And, of course, Erica Getch has Stephen Bassett on talking about the citizen hearings. Okay, I've plugged away now.
Well, you've been listening to Perspective X on UPRN 107.7 New Orleans. Good night, everyone.
From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. Across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour is the military involved in alien abductions. Researching abductees with Belinda Leslie and Joe Montaldo tonight.